Agnew.
The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
You're listening to Rapid Fire Real Estate with Anita Hiles. Anita Hiles works coast to coast with Realty Executives. She is an award-winning top producer that has been voted Bold City Best Realtor in 2015 and 2016. And she's opened her own real estate office in Jacksonville and Fernandina Beach, Florida. Anita is a retired law enforcement police officer from Southern California, where she serviced for 25 years. Anita has a son, James, who has been serving our great country in the U.S. Army for over 11 years. Now Anita has joined the WBOB team for all things real estate. This is Rapid Fire Real Estate. Here's Anita Hiles.
Welcome to Rapid Fire Real Estate with Anita Hiles. I'm easy to find at Realty Executive Oceanside and at AnitaHiles.com. Welcome, everybody. And I am here. Roger Henderson is a little tied up this afternoon. And I am grateful to have Tomas Jimenez from Jimenez Law Firm.
Glad to be here. Big shoes to fill, but I'm going to do my best.
Yeah. Roger's pretty dynamic, isn't he?
He sure is.
We're going to miss him today, but he'll be back next week. And what's been going on? I know you've been extremely busy at you put on all these forms here at a local restaurant that's had great attendance. I've attended them as well. And so I know that takes a lot of time to put those together. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, it's it takes some time, but it's very rewarding. And I was chatting with a friend of mine that same night, and just they're like, well, you know, why are you doing all this for? I'm like, you know, look at the room. It's full of people.
It is.
And, you know, I enjoy being able to see people enjoy themselves. So being there and knowing that I can bring some folks together and they can sit around and converse and talk about, you know, issues that are facing, that we're facing in our community and in our country. And having, you know, again, that fellowship is just inspiring to me, and I enjoy being a part of that.
It is. And, you know, what a lot of people don't realize is they're bipartisan. You invite both sides of the coin, people running for office, to attend. And most of them do, and some don't, which is to their disadvantage. It really is, because one thing I love about it, and I know you're going to have more in the future, is that you really get to mingle with the people running for office. You get to walk up to them, shake their hand, ask them questions, and get their perspective of what is important to you. And it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican or an independent.
That's right. And that's really that really highlights what the whole concept behind it has been. And it really just, you know, I've been fortunate enough in my life to be able to be involved and have a really good mentor, my dad, and other mentors in our community that have, you know, always told me it's important to be a part of you know, meeting the folks who are going to govern, you know, govern us and you know, to be involved and be informed. And for me, I kind of take it for granted sometimes. And I think a lot of folks don't get that same opportunity to be able to meet the individual candidates, to meet the folks who are, you know, doing things in our community. Even if they're not elected, they could be just doing something on a community service basis of their own organizations that they're a part of, Rotary or all the different organizations, wonderful organizations that we have here in Jacksonville. So I think it's really, it just spawned from that, just being able to kind of, again, bring people together and meet these folks, you know, because a lot of times I think people, well, not necessarily myself, but a lot of folks will make decisions when they're voting for someone without knowing the person. And I think that getting to know the people, speaking with them about issues that are important to us as individuals is important because, you know, when you're able to have a dialogue with that person and that person ultimately, they may not win now, they may go do something else, they become a friend. But if they do win, you've got someone you can talk to about something that they can, you know, help you with. And, you know, and they always want to know what you're, you know, most of the time they want to know what's going on because they're there to serve. They're servants and they want to be able to make our community better because they live here. So I think that's it's an important part of what we're doing and what we need to do as citizens of this country.
Right. And like I said, one thing I was impressed with, you know, I've never really have, other than a few big rallies, I have not ever attended something like this myself. To be able to talk to them, mm-hmm. I've made some really good contacts. Met some great people on both sides of the coin.
Yep.
And so to really get to know them a little bit, it does bring it into perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're everyday people. Mm-hmm. They've got families and they've taken into heart their position.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter what side. I've noticed that they're very passionate about, you know, that what they believe in.
Sure.
And you know, they want to do good for us.
Yeah, they want to serve. I mean, it's mm-hmm. really, it's not out of, you meet these folks and, you know, there's a rhetoric or an idea that it's for self-interest, and I think it's the complete opposite. I think
it's complete opposite.
Who want to actually serve. They have their own ideas about what they want to do and where they see the direction of the country and our community going. But ultimately, I think deep down, they are folks who are called to serve.
And you know what? It's a full-time job.
Absolutely. And they get paid like nothing. Not a lot of money.
No, people don't realize that. They get paid almost nothing. And they still have their regular jobs.
That's right.
So you talk about juggling. They've become good jugglers, I think.
Yeah, I would guess like, that they're...
I think I do many things, and then I meet these people in person and find out they're just getting pulled in every direction. It gives you definitely, you definitely respect them even more when you meet them in person and you see all that they really do and stuff. So yeah, it was pretty cool.
I would guess that... if they're entrepreneurs or business owners, that their businesses probably take a hit when they do these types of jobs. Because I mean, these are full time jobs.
Yeah.
So they're most likely taking pay cuts, and I think it's something that some folks don't realize. And it's actually, again, when you meet these folks, you understand that they're doing it for the community. They're not doing it for
And everybody thinks, oh, they got deep pockets. Yeah, no, they don't.
Well, that maybe they need to have deep pockets to do it. But
hey, and here it's time. To hear our hot, hot, hot properties here in North Florida. I've got a couple of really good ones. We have one that is absolutely, not one, we've got three, but this one I just absolutely love. It is in Flagler Beach, and it is 406 Jasper Drive. It is a four-bedroom, two-bathroom, 2,636 square feet. You need to look it up. You can go to realityexecutive.com. That's realityexecutive.com to view these. That's 406 Jasper Drive. It is a beautiful inside and out. It has a swimming pool, and it's $385,000. Not far from the beach, it is in the Stone Bridge subdivision in the area of the 95 and SR1 and Henderson. So beautiful home. You guys need to check that out. Also, I've got one in Mariners Point, 4850 Mariners Point Drive, Jacksonville, Florida, 32225. That is in the area of Arlington and Fort Caroline area. So it's off of Fort Caroline, and it is east of the 295. It is a five-bedroom, three-bathroom, 2,991 square feet. Absolutely gorgeous house. It's got a master bedroom downstairs. It's got a master bedroom upstairs. It's got a swimming pool as well. Five bedrooms, great square footage, a swimming pool for $379,000. We need an offer on this. It's going to go quick. It's right off of Fort Caroline near Mariners Point. And then our last one is on 2223 Muscalero Way, Jacksonville, Florida, 32246. This is in the Intercoast West area. You don't want to miss this. It's a three-bedroom, two-bathroom, 1,718 square feet for $287,900, listed by my top producer, Betty Layton. It's awesome. You want to come back because we will have Jim Overton and Matt Carlucci here to talk about what's going on in Jacksonville.
There are some things you just don't have to Google. When it comes to buying or selling a home, why not go right to the experts? Realty Executives Oceanside is new to the Jacksonville area, but globally we have over 50 years of experience. We're conveniently located at 3503 Kernan Boulevard South, on the corner of Beach and Kernan. Whether you're listing or buying a home, come see us at Realty Executives Oceanside. Realty Executives, where the experts are.
Hi, this is Alana Cohen with Caliber Home Loans, NMLS 1086794. Need help finding a home loan? Call Caliber Home Loans today. We offer a variety of home purchase and refinancing options to help ensure your home loan is truly affordable. We're conveniently located at 12724 Grand Bay Parkway, right off I-95. We have local representatives that are dedicated to providing superior service and personal expert guidance throughout your home financing process. Give me a call at 904-813-6709. That's 904-813-6709. Caliber Home Loans.
Caliber Home Loans is an equal housing lender.
Are you stressed about buying or selling your home? You don't need to be. I'm Betty Layton, and I'm an award-winning, top-producing real estate agent for Realty Executives Oceanside Jacks. I am immersed every day in all aspects of the buying or selling process, and I'll be there for you every step of the way. I know buying or selling your home is a big decision, and I will ensure it's the right decision. Give me a call at 904-838-8743. That's 904-838-8743. And if you respond to this ad, you will receive a free pre-listing inspection.
Hey, this is Chad Murphy with First Florida Financial, NMLS 392021. First Florida Financial offers a variety of loan programs to meet your needs to get you into your next home. With over 20 years' experience, I make the process of securing a mortgage as simple and straightforward as possible by offering you the latest in financial tools to help enable you in making a sound financial choice. If you're looking for your next home, give me a call. Chad Murphy at 904-566-8825. That's 904-566-8825.
Wally Conway here for Home Pro Inspections with important information if you're selling your home. According to the National Association of Realtors, sellers who have their home inspected at the time of listing sell in less time for more money and make fewer repairs. Ask your realtor about the Home Pro risk-free guarantee. If your Home Pro inspected listing is not sold in 6 months, Home Pro will refund 100% of your inspection fee. Call now 268-8211 or visit us online at gohomepro.com.
You gotta fight for your right to
work. Welcome back to Rapid Fire Real Estate with Anita Hiles. I am easy to find at Realty Executive Oceanside or at AnitaHiles.com. We want you guys to call in at 904-222-TALK. That's 222-8255. 222-8255. I'm excited today. We have Matt Carlucci, who's running for city council. He will be on the March 19th ballot. And we also have Jim Overton, who is on the ballot now and will be also in March 19th, which we'll explain a little bit about that. And he is running for tax collector. Matt, welcome.
Well, thank you for being here. I mean, thank you for inviting me to be here. And it's good to be with you, Anita, and Tomas, and to be here with Jim.
Thank you very much. We have Tomas Jimenez in the house. Roger Henderson is out today. Thank you for coming in and helping me out, Tomas.
Glad to be here.
And tell us a little bit about yourself. Introduce yourself. A lot of people know you. You've been in this town for a long time. You've had your business at State Farm Insurance. It's in San Marco, correct?
It's in Miramar, close to San Marco. Yeah.
And you've had that for 37 years. You've got a wonderful family.
Yes, ma'am, I do.
And you've been married for over 40 years.
Yes, ma'am.
And I saw the picture of your family. It's just gorgeous. The little babies are something else.
Oh, mama mia. Tell me about my little grandchildren.
They're beautiful. So tell us a little more about yourself, Matt.
Well, I'm a native of Jacksonville. I have served on the council for two terms for the seat that I'm running for now, back in the late 80s and early 90s. Then I was a district councilman from 1999 to 2003, ran for the mayor, fell just short. We were close, but like I said before, horseshoes and grenades. That's all that counts in.
That's right.
So I went back to being a State Farm agent full-time, which is what I've been doing actually for close to 40 years now. And I started out when I was very young. So I'm not an old guy, but I'm not a young guy either. But I'm 62. I've got been married to my wife, Karen. She's a native. She's my little Italian pixie. Her last name is Signoretti. So we have a lot of Italian blood in our family, just like Tomas has got the Hispanic side covered. I got the Italian side covered.
Exactly. I bet dinners are wonderful at your house.
Oh, man. My mother was a good cook, too.
Myself.
But my wife is an excellent cook. But I do appreciate you have me on the phone because I've been out of office for 15 years. So a lot of folks don't remember or maybe know who I am. But I've been a State Farm insurance agent for a long time. And that's a great opportunity to take care of people and to help people manage their risk. And in addition, I have served on the council and have enjoyed all three terms, which would be 12 years. I'm running currently for at-large council, which means I would represent the entire and anybody who lives in the entire county of Duval, from the beaches to Baldwin, to the north, to the south ends of the county, can vote, and everywhere in between can vote Carlucci for at-large group four. What attracts me to really wanting to run is because I care. I care about the city. I have my entire adult life. I have served in public service in some form or fashion my entire life. It's what makes me tick. My father served before me for nearly 20 years on the city council, and he wound up in the state senate, but he died young at age 57. But he made a big impact here in Jacksonville.
That's wonderful.
You know, there's no better place though to serve and to make a difference in your community for the future generations to come than on the Jacksonville City Council.
That's very true. And one thing I want to make clear to everybody, because you know, I'm from Southern California. A lot of our listeners know that, and I've been here for a little while now, but still learning, you know, all the voting things, you know, all the rules and how everything works. And so I open my ballot and I'm going, where's Matt? Matt is not on this ballot. Oh, my God. You know,
yes.
So you're in March. And so we need our people to understand that you're on the ballot on March 19th. And it's important because a lot of people don't like to show up. We have low turnouts for that type of an election, but they need to be there.
Yeah, what's important?
Their vote is important.
What's important to remember is your state and federal offices, their elections are in fall. The city elections are in the spring. There's been attempts to combine them all together to save a little money. So maybe that's the right thing to do. Maybe it's not. I don't think it is the right thing to do.
It could get confusing.
I think that your fall elections allows you to focus strictly on those legislative, Senate, presidential races, et cetera. But local is totally different. And in local elections is really what affects you and your quality of life the most, because when you pay those property taxes, you pay for your tags, whatever you pay, whatever fee you pay goes to the city. And hopefully those council members and the mayor will take those dollars, use them widely to increase the quality of life, enhance the quality of life of Jacksonville. And that's really the secret to good economic development. If the better quality of life we have, the more other businesses will want to come here and create better paying jobs and better quality jobs. And so we need to be investing in our city to make it better, not so much for me but for the viewers, the listeners, their children. Maybe they have grandchildren. We all want our children to stay here in Jacksonville. I know I got three little troublemaking grandkids. I want them staying right here in Jacksonville. But we need to make sure they have opportunities for good paying jobs so they don't have to go to Atlanta or Orlando or somewhere else.
That's correct. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because one of the things I wanted to discuss with you is the growth downtown. What are some of the things that are coming or up and coming downtown?
Well, first of all, what's really, I think, a great thing about downtown is a lot of it's its growth and the excitement about downtown now is more what they call organic. In other words, it's just kind of happening naturally. It's not being forced by, manipulative, for lack of a better word, city incentives. Now, city incentives will still play a role in bringing business and making downtown better, but you got to make sure you're going to get a return on investment. I think the return on investment is going to be better on city incentives for downtown projects because there's more interest in downtown. But we've got to make sure that not only does downtown grow for businesses and restaurants and so forth, but we got to make downtown a fun place, not just when the Jaguars are playing or when our Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp are playing or the Icemen or any of the other teams we have. We need Jacksonville to be a fun place for families that have young children that can take them downtown where there's something fun to do. Now, we have MOSH, which is the Museum of Science and History, and they're fixing to do a fabulous overhaul and expansion. They've got great leadership there, so that's going to be neat. Councilwoman Boyer is making some wonderful enhancements to the St. John's River Park and Marina, which is where Friendship Fountain is. So that's going to be a fun place for young people to go. But we need other things like that on the North Bank as well to make Jacksonville a place where Tomas can take his children and have some fun.
Absolutely. Because there is still a lot to do down there, and we have some great restaurants down there.
We're going to get one more great one. I don't mean to break in here, but the Laura Street Trio, which is one of my that was near and dear to my heart. That's the most extraordinary corner in Jacksonville, Florida, because those three buildings were built right after the Great Fire in 1902. Right, Jim? 1902?
1902, yeah.
Okay. And so they're the most historic buildings downtown. They're being restored along with the Barnett. The Marble Bank building is going to be a beautiful steak restaurant, just like we have at the Chop House. So we're going to have more good restaurant venues
steak.
Downtown. And then you got what Shad Khan's doing at the Entertainment Center down by the stadium and so forth. I think there's a lot of great things happening in Jacksonville, and we want to be smart about it. We want to, Lincoln once said, make haste slowly. Okay, that was his quote. So we want to kind of hurry up, but we want to do it slowly and thoughtfully so
sure.
We're making good investments.
What about that land that's right across from the coffee, Maxwell?
Oh, that's the old shipyards. I think most of the there was a lot of underground toxics and contamination. I think most of that's been cleaned up. It's going to take somebody with a lot of capital, that might be Shad Khan, to invest into that.
Well, I know he listens, so I hope he's listening right now. Tell him to pull out that checkbook.
Well, you know, he's got to do what's right for his checkbook. So, you know, I'm not going to be.
Well, it didn't work out in London.
You know, far be it from me to tell Shad how to write the check. But I think he is committed to Jacksonville, Florida. Matter of fact,
I know he is. Yes.
Because you know who brought him here or who helped bring him here was Wayne Weaver. And I will tell you, there is very few people that have ever been as committed and as generous
Absolutely.
With their money than Wayne and Dolores Weaver. They told me he was the right pick. And you can't make things happen too quickly, but I think in the next 10 years, downtown will be a completely different looking and a different place to go.
I think so, too. And I think it's headed in the right direction. And maybe not as quick as people would like, but it's happening, and that's what's important.
But we have a council that's determined to make that happen. We also have a mayor who is very excited about downtown. So that's good symmetry.
Yes.
When you have those two working together, now they don't want to hold hands all the time. There's got to be some, I mean, this is a Madisonian type of government. There's the legislative side and there's
sure.
the administrative side. So there's got to be some debate. But let the debate bring the best idea up to the top, and then whoever has the best idea wins, and hopefully it makes Jacksonville an even better place to live.
That sounds wonderful, and we're going to have more when we come back on Rapid Fire Real Estate with Anita Hiles.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. A U.S. official says a functional explosive device was intercepted at a facility near the suburban New York City home of Hillary and Bill Clinton. The official says investigators believe that device is linked to one found on Monday at the compound of liberal billionaire George Soros. The official was not authorized to publicly discuss the ongoing investigation. Similar devices found also being sent to former President Obama and CNN's New York City headquarters. Once mighty Hurricane Willa has weakened now into a tropical depression. It's moving rapidly over west central Mexico. Forecasters say the storm could still bring 2 to 4 inches of rain to areas along its path in northern Mexico that could lead to more mudslides on mountainous terrain. Prime Minister Theresa May says Britain will ban suspects in the killing of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi from entering Britain. She made that announcement today. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 170. This is SRN News.
Attention all men. Have Viagra and Cialis let you down? Think your best days are behind you? Think again. If you suffer from any type of ED, regardless of your age or medical history, the doctors at Alpha Medical Group can help you now. There is no needles, no surgery, and no medication. Just the newest available proven treatment from Europe using acoustic energy waves. Our FDA-cleared medical device regenerates blood vessels and erectile tissue with short in-office sessions, and it's all done with virtually no needles, no surgery, and no medication. Call now for full information. Call 904-763-1400. That's 904-763-1400. 100% natural, non-invasive way to fix erectile dysfunction. Call 904-763-1400 today and get your life back with Alpha Medical Group. Call 904-763-1400 or visit our website at alphamedicalgroup.com.
Z, the founder of the original Tunis restaurant, and Robert Rucab, owner of St. John's Seafood Restaurant, have teamed up. The result is a new national chain called Tip Top Chicken and Shrimp. Tip Top Chicken and Shrimp features the time-tested recipes of seafood and chicken and more. The first Tip Top Chicken and Shrimp is open at 847 Dunn Avenue, just west of I-95. The second will be opening in days at 101 Monument Road, just off Atlantic Boulevard. Tip Top Chicken and Shrimp, the best you've ever tasted. Now at 847 Dunn Avenue and soon at Monument Road.
Don't stress over a leaky or damaged roof. Just call Perkins Express Roofing. Perkins Express Roofing is available 24/7. If you've had damage from a storm or accident, there's a good chance insurance will cover it, and Perkins Express Roofing will do all of the paperwork for you. If you're remodeling, renovating, or building a new home or building, let Perkins Express Roofing's parent company, MCM Builders, do a free estimate and show you how much they can save you. From a leak to a whole roof, Perkins Express Roofing is locally owned and operated and totally licensed and insured. Your roof is one of the most important parts of your home. Trust the professionals at Perkins Express Roofing. Call 904-525-2277 or 626-2860. Currently hiring sales reps. Equal opportunity employer. Perkins Express Roofing says, we keep you covered. 525-2277 or 626-2860. State license number CCC 1330452.
Canterfield in Clay County is now open. This senior living community provides elegant retirement living at its best. Everything at Canterfield is first class, from their luxurious independent villas to their assisted living and memory care apartment homes. Canterfield of Clay County residents are sure to spend carefree, activity-filled days in a pristine environment. Canterfield of Clay County truly is a place you'll be happy to call home. To schedule a personal tour, call 203-6100. That's 203-6100.
Does your well water leave brown rust stains on clothes and fixtures? Does it smell bad? Get rid of it all with the HydroCare Iron 300X. HydroCare's multi-stage process gets rid of iron, sulfide, and odors. HydroCare is an easily installed, compact system without tanks, backwashing, or servicing, and only costs $799. You'll be amazed how fresh and clean well water can be. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, visit goodclearwater.com. goodclearwater.com.
We're all gonna rock to the rules that I make. I wanna be elected, elected.
Welcome back to Rapid Fire Real Estate with Anita Hiles. I am easy to find at Realty Executive Oceanside or at AnitaHiles.com. And I am so excited right now because we have Jim Overton in the house. Welcome, Jim.
Thanks, Anita. How are you?
great. And you are running for tax collector. Probably those are the two words nobody likes.
Nobody likes a tax collector very much. although in the New Testament, Jesus was okay with the tax collectors, but everybody else wasn't so hot with them. You know,
I'll try to remember that if you guys show up at my business. Tell us a little bit about yourself, because you have a great resume, and you're close to my heart because you are a broker associate. You have your real estate license.
I do. I have a real estate license, and the year that I left public office, which was 2015, I got pretty active in the business and had a couple of good years there in the business. I got interested in politics again, so it's kind of killed that. So that's what I'll be doing come next month if things don't work out the way I would like. So
it's going to work out. It's going to work out. People, it's early voting right now, so people need to get out there and vote.
Thanks. Carlucci and I were just talking during the break about his dad's family came from the Bronx, which was an interesting thing. I didn't know that.
Carlucci's.
Yeah, well, it makes some, you know, makes sense, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my family was in politics in Florida way back. My grandfather was in the legislature, and they were from Levy County, which is a little place called Otter Creek, Florida, which was a Cummer mill town. And my grandfather owned the general store there and was a postmaster in the little town. He ran for the legislature and was a county clerk and had a whole bunch of kind of that kind of job down there in Otter Creek. Otter Creek's not really there anymore. It's just a crossroad now. Like a lot of little tiny places, they just go away. You know,
it's got one traffic light.
Well, not even one traffic light.
There you go.
When the mill closed, that was the end of Otter Creek.
Wow. Well, tell us, a lot of people, you know, we assume that because of the title tax collector, that people assume they know what your position is. But I don't think they do. What exactly does your job do? What are the details of your position?
It's a remarkably complex operation inside the city government. It's 225 employees with another 50 or so part-timers. They handle about 36 different taxing authorities in the county, and they handle 120, 130 different functions, including all kinds of things you wouldn't think about, occupational taxes and, you know, titles and escrows and... I mean, if you have an alarm company and you have to make a deposit, you go to the tax collector's office. So they handle all this stuff. They have 1.8 million transactions every year and handle about $3 billion every year. So it's a big accounting job is what it is. And you kind of need somebody in that job that has gotten around the government a little bit before, knows the players, knows how to get money for the office, which is important because this budget goes to the mayor for approval. So you have to know that side and the council side. Plus, you have to have a good business background and some good government fiscal work.
That's great. What can you tell me about what are your predictions on the real estate market? What's your expertise on that?
You know, the realtors, by the way, who endorsed me, but the realtors are saying that if we pass Amendment 1, that the market will pick up. And if we pass Amendment 2, that the non-homestead market will continue to rise. So we can talk about those amendments if you want and what they
Absolutely.
Mean for the real
They're
estate market.
They're very important, yes.
Yeah. Amendment 1 increases the homestead exemption by $25,000.
Which we want.
The exemption's only on the municipal side of the tab. The schools don't get hurt by Amendment 1. In Amendment 2... continues the 10% cap on non-homestead real estate that was imposed by Amendment 3 in 2008, the year Charlie Crist said that was the largest tax decrease in the history of Florida, and it may have been correct.
Mm-hmm.
And Amendment 2 is kind of an easy one because anybody who owns a duplex or a business or anything like that wants to have some certainty in how much their taxes are going to be in a given year.
Absolutely.
So that's what that does. It keeps that tax cap on, so you don't get a big surprise and when tax day comes and you go, oh my goodness, I can't afford this, or I got to charge my tenant for all this, right. or my lake house went up, or you know, my second home or whatever. Amendment 1 is a little more problematic for the government because it's going to cost the government some money, which some people would say is a good thing, and some people would say it's going to hurt the government a little bit. The problem with it is that somehow or other, that it's about $26 or $28 million, something like that, is going to cost the local government. So that's going to have to be made up somehow, or they're going to have to make some cost cuttings to make it balance.
If anybody has questions for these two, we have let's put them on the hot seat. That's 222-TALK, 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Give us a call so we can ask some questions. Now, you guys during the break were talking about the Jags, and I know I've got there's many Jag fans here, including myself, and our good friend Joey Gabriel. Oh my God,
yeah,
he's about the biggest fan I think I know. And tell us a little bit about the history behind that when it went to council, because both of you guys were on it at the time, right?
Yeah, we were just talking about the votes on the Jaguars, which weren't the Jaguars at the time. It was just Touchdown Jacksonville. We didn't have a team when we did the deal. And Ed Austin was mayor. Colucci and I were both on the council, and we were arguing back and forth about what to do about the lease, that we were going to lease the Gator Bowl, which is what it was known at the time. To this entity, it was Touchdown Jacksonville, and they were going to go out and get a team, or so they said. And everybody said, well, you really can't get a team. This is Jacksonville, Florida. Nobody's going to come here and be an NFL team. So anyway, so it was up in the air. The first lease vote did not pass, and Jake Godbold, who was out in the river with a barge full of firecrackers, well, actually fireworks, was going to set the fireworks off when the vote was totaled and we passed the bill, which enabled this thing to start off. And the bill failed, but Mr. Godbold shot the fireworks off anyway.
Oh, no.
I think he was mistaken.
I did not
Is
know
that. Is
that
how you remember it, Matt?
Yeah, he did. I mean, you can't hold Jake Godbold back, and he'd do the same thing today if he could. And in many ways, we owe the Jaguars to – going back to Jake Godbold and Tommy Hazuri, and of course Ed Austin is who's John Delaney worked with as general counsel. But Ed Austin brought the Jaguars in on a soft landing. But as council members, you know, it seemed like an easy idea to most of our constituents. Hey, we want a football team. But what our council auditors were telling us is that if you don't average, 55,000 to 60,000 people in that stadium, game in and game out, then it could start costing the taxpayers additional dollars. So it was a tight squeeze. It was like a middle-class person going out looking at an Escalade. But Jacksonville deserved a team. We wanted a team. We had faith that we could make it happen. But I wasn't so convinced. And so I really studied it hard. I'll tell you a funny story real quick. The night before the vote, my wife poked me in the ribs before we went to bed. She says, "Now, don't be a stick in the mud. I want you to vote for those Jaguars. It'd be good for Jacksonville." And I said, "Well, I'm kind of leaning that way." And so the next morning, I get up about 5 o'clock. I go get the newspaper because I always get up early, got the newspaper, had on the front page, "Call your city councilman today. Let them know what you think about voting on the new Jaguar lease that was up again after the first one failed."
Did you guys get a lot of calls?
I got to City Hall at 6 o'clock. Phone started ringing. And I had a yellow pad in front of me with yeses and noes. And I'm going to tell you something interesting. The no's, people wanted me to voting no, was much longer than the list of voting yes.
Oh, interesting.
But let me tell you the difference. And this is what really sold me. And this is what's kind of a turning point in the growth as my council in governmental career. The people that were voting no just seemed to be, I want to be careful how I say this, but they were very unpositive about our ability to have a team. Will never support it, and it was a kind of a negative tone that I kept hearing over and over. The people that were calling me for it were younger people, and they were saying, "Miss Carlucci, this was their general. That's generally what they were saying. It's not that we want a pro team so bad. What we want is a future for our city, and we believe this is what's going to be great for Jacksonville and get us on the map." And so I heard that message that they wanted some hope for their hometown, and I said, "By golly, I'm voting for hope." And so I went in there, voted. So I think I was the vote they needed to keep it from being vetoed, which it wouldn't have been vetoed anyway, but it was a safety vote
well,
anyway.
There you have it.
Yep.
Hope.
hope. It's
That's
all about,
awesome.
It's all, let me tell you, this job of being a council member and even what Jim's doing and what Tomas is doing with getting candidates in front of people, you're forcing us to talk about what do we think about the future of Jacksonville? What do we want to hear? What are people telling us
That's
about the
awesome,
future?
And we'll be right back.
There are some things you just don't have to Google. When it comes to buying or selling a home, why not go right to the experts? Realty Executives Oceanside is new to the Jacksonville area, but globally we have over 50 years of experience. We're conveniently located at 3503 Kernan Boulevard South, on the corner of Beach and Kernan. Whether you're listing or buying a home, come see us at Realty Executives Oceanside. Realty Executives, where the experts are.
Wally Conway here for Home Pro Inspections with important information if you're selling your home. According to the National Association of Realtors, sellers who have their home inspected at the time of listing sell in less time for more money and make fewer repairs. Ask your realtor about the Home Pro risk-free guarantee. If your Home Pro inspected listing is not sold in 6 months, Home Pro will refund 100% of your inspection fee. Call now 268-8211 or visit us online at gohomepro.com.
Hey, this is Chad Murphy with First Florida Financial, NMLS 392021. First Florida Financial offers a variety of loan programs to meet your needs to get you into your next home. With over 20 years experience, I make the process of securing a mortgage as simple and straightforward as possible by offering you the latest in financial tools to help enable you in making a sound financial choice. If you're looking for your next home, give me a call. Chad Murphy at 904-566-8825. That's 904-566-8825.
Hi, this is Alana Cohen with Caliber Home Loans, NMLS 1086794. Need help finding a home loan? Call Caliber Home Loans today. We offer a variety of home purchase and refinancing options to help ensure your home loan is truly affordable. We're conveniently located at 12724 Grand Bay Parkway, right off I-95. We have local representatives that are dedicated to providing superior service and personal expert guidance throughout your home financing process. Give me a call at 904-813-6709. That's 904-813-6709, Caliber Home Loans.
Caliber Home Loans is an equal housing lender.
Are you stressed about buying or selling your home? You don't need to be. I'm Betty Layton, and I'm an award-winning, top-producing real estate agent for Realty Executives Oceanside Jacks. I am immersed every day in all aspects of the buying or selling process, and I'll be there for you every step of the way. I know buying or selling your home is a big decision, and I will ensure it's the right decision. Give me a call at 904-838-8743. That's 904-838-8743. And if you respond to this ad, you will receive a free pre-listing inspection.
Welcome back to Rapid Fire Real Estate with Anita Hiles. I'm easy to find at Realty Executive Oceanside or at AnitaHiles.com. And we are back with Jim Overton, running for tax collector, and Matt Carlucci, running for city council. And he will be on the ballot in March. But explain, Jim, why you're on the ballot now. Today, you're on the ballot, and you will also be on the ballot in March 19th.
Well, we have a city. I'm a city election, you know, for a city office. And Mike Carlucci,
Corrigan.
What am I saying? Mike Corrigan.
He's Irish. I'm Catholic. Yeah, yeah. I'm Italian. Okay.
So Mr. Corrigan. Yeah, Mr. Corrigan. He used to be a friend of mine before I started talking here. left early. He got another job. I think he got a promotion. He wanted to do something else, and he got another job, and so he left early. So there's 7 months left on the term from the beginning of next month to June 30. And that's what I'm running for. I'm running for that unexpired term. Now, presumably, if I win, I'll be on the ballot in the spring with the mayor and with Matt and all the city council. So that's what we have, these two elections back to back. And hopefully, you know, I'll win this one and I'll go win that one too. So, but right now, I'm running for 7 months of the unexpired term for Mr. Corrigan.
Gotcha. Now that makes complete sense.
Yeah. The interesting thing about it is city elections are much different from state elections, and this is a midterm. You have a congressional race on this ballot, a Senate race, a governor's race. So a lot of the turnout for this will be different than it would be for a city election. They're a completely different set of voters. So for running a campaign in this time slot, it's been a little different than what I would have done had I just been in a city election. Different appeal.
Right. Very good. Very good. Now, Matt, I know, what can you tell me about the rivers? I know that's important to you out there. What's your take on that?
The St. John's River is absolutely our most valuable natural resource. Over the years, and in this has just been going on, whether you want to talk about climate change or the Book of Revelation, you know, whatever. But the levels of the river are rising a little bit every year and have been for decades. And so we're kind of at a point now where, like Hurricane Irma, that was the flutter. And I've been in the insurance business now 40 years. I've never seen flooding like that before. Our industry tells us, in other words, our insurance industry tells us that if we had a Category 2 or 3 hurricane hit from the Atlantic and hit straight there near or at the St. John's River, it would shovel so much storm surge up into Jacksonville, into downtown. The people that work for Channel 12 would be swimming to their desk. The Everbank Field could be underwater. So we've got to, in my opinion, take some steps to mitigate that type of thing from happening. And some has already been done. Councilwoman Boyer, I mentioned her earlier.
Yes.
Her district has an area that just needs to flood again, and there's homes there, and it's very sad, but the people had a choice. Do we want to continually get flooded, or do we want to sell our homes and government buy them and we move somewhere else? And she's handled that very well. But I want to take a serious look at that issue. Also want to take a serious look at a lot of the stem of the St. John's River is in pretty good shape. It's our tributaries. We got 50 of them in Jacksonville, and they are all so highly polluted, and it's because of septic tanks. And we need a lot of septic tank remediation in Jacksonville, Florida. So those are not real, sexy issues to talk about, but they're necessary because there's a lot of people that live in neighborhoods. The septic tanks aren't functioning. Their children are playing in the yard. The water may go in the ditch or in the culvert, which eventually goes out to the river, pollutes or to the tributary, which pollutes the river. We've got a lot of infrastructure work to do here in Jacksonville, Florida.
We definitely need to get
a
handle on that. Absolutely.
If there's ever a good time to be a utilities contractor, it's now.
There you go. Speaking of utilities, Jim, I know that you're a consultant with JEA.
No, it's for Scenic Jacksonville. And what I've been doing for Scenic Jacksonville is trying to convince public officials in Jacksonville and primarily the JEA to get interested in putting the overhead lines underground in the old neighborhoods and all the old neighborhoods of city. In the new neighborhoods, they're underground now because they've been required to be underground since about 1970. And so what happens in storms is that the underground systems continue to function and the overhead systems break because trees fall on them.
Sure.
So there's a reliability issue, and there's also an aesthetic issue. And Scenic Jacksonville's particular interest is in aesthetics. But you can look at the new neighborhoods versus the aesthetics of the old neighborhoods, and it's completely different. Now, we're proposing a long-term project, about a 30-year project, to systematically go at maybe a few percent a year to try to get the lines underground. Some of the cities around here have done it. Jacksonville Beach is 80% underground now, and they go at it a little bit at a time. Every year they put a little money in it. It's kind of like what we're doing with septic tanks. We're putting about $15 to $20 million a year into taking out septic tanks in Jacksonville. We're not doing anything about overhead versus underground conversions. So we're trying to get the JEA interested, and they seem to be interested in doing some of it. I think from a hardening standpoint, they do believe in it. In Irma, for example, they had 2,300 circuit outages, only one of which was an underground circuit. So it makes a big difference in terms of a storm, and it also obviously helps where we look.
It's a great way to mitigate lights and electricity from going out if you can bury those lines.
Oh, yeah,
lines.
Absolutely. And I'm from
Southern
California. So
he's involved in a very, very worthy project.
And ours are underground. Now, we still have some that aren't, older communities.
Yeah.
And stuff. For the most part, you know, because of earthquakes and stuff, ours went all underground. So I was really surprised when I had moved out here how much weren't underground. And I wasn't sure if it had to do because we're basically on top of water, is what everyone tells me. So, You know, I wasn't sure if that played a part in it.
Well, there,
if it was cost.
There's certain places where you really don't want to go underground. If you're going to near a water source or a river, like right up next to the ocean or something like that, you don't really want to be underground because of the saltwater intrusion problem or the water intrusion problem. Those circuits will fail if they get totally inundated with water. But most of the places in Jacksonville could easily have underground service, and it would be fine.
What would something like that cost? I mean, I'm guessing this is more of an economic issue.
Yeah, it is. It's about money. It's always, well, frankly, it's always about
money. It's always
money.
About money.
yeah, it's about a $3 billion project. But if we built it over 30 or 40 years, it would be doable.
And they would probably save also some money, or it would offset by not paying the overtime when we have hurricanes or we have tropical storms.
Yeah, it would save it would save the utility a lot of money in storms.
Yeah,
a ton of money. And obviously reliability goes way, way up if you're underground versus overhead.
That's great.
So, and we're not the only cities thinking about this. There's some Washington, Annapolis, Oklahoma City.
There's
a lot of cities that are really going at this on a regular basis, and they're having some success. We just need to get on board.
Well, I think both those issues are very important.
Absolutely.
Very important. Now, Jim, why should people vote for you? Here we are. It's voting week. We're down to the wire.
Tell us how awesome you are. I'm a local guy, and I think that counts for something. But the big thing is I've got experience doing what I'm doing here. This is the other end of the business. It's the same tax law that I was dealing with before. I had 12 years as property appraiser. Had a good run. Really shaped up that office quite well, I think. And I think if you vote for experience, you vote for me. I think if this was your $3 billion business, who would you hire? Would you hire someone with experience, or would you hire someone who's thinking about maybe this is a good career move for him? All the candidates in this race have been great people. They all have great experiences. I just have the right kind of relevant experience for this job.
And Matt, your turn.
Okay. Well, because I care. That's the big reason that people should vote for me. I care. The second reason is my experience. I've had 3 terms on the council. I've been council president. I've chaired finance twice. I know how to comb through a $2.5 billion budget. If somebody has a problem, I know who to call to help solve the problem. And I also know how to bring all people together. Because that's the only way you can make great things happen, is by bringing everybody together.
Absolutely.
And if you could do that, we can do great things for our future. And if we do great things for our future, then our children and our grandchildren are going to have an even better Jacksonville to want to live and play in. And that is where my heart is. That is where my devotion is. And that is where my energy is. And that's what lights me up. So please, I hope folks will remember to vote Carlucci on March 19th of 2019. Right. I do have a website, votecarlucci.com. And I ask your listeners for their vote.
And I'm going to have you guys here again before March.
My website, by the way, is jimoverton.com, www.jimoverton.com. You can find out all kinds of stuff on that website.
Yes, they're both very nice websites. I did visit both of them. And I think it summed it up as hope. And I think that was a great word to use, because people need to get out there. This is your opportunity to have a voice and to give hope to the future of Jacksonville. And so get out there and vote.
You nailed it, Anita. And I want to thank you and Tomas, I know Jim does too, for having us on your show.
We're going to have you guys back again before March. I'm looking forward to it. Okay. Thank you, Tomas Jimenez.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Keep your eye on Tomas. He's going places.
He is going places. That's awesome. Thank you for listening to Rapid Fire Real Estate on WBOB.